Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning how to join in and be a part of the work of the Lord. The message is called Getting the Gospel to Our Generation, so let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 13, verse 36, as we go back to basics.
Just a statement that was made by the Apostle Paul in the 36th verse as he's there preaching to the men in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia. He's talking to them, of course, ultimately about the gospel, but in the course of his message, he alludes to David. And in the 36th verse, he says this concerning David. Basically, he said, David served his generation by the will of God. God has called us to serve our generation as well. And the single greatest act of service that we could do for our generation is to get the gospel to them. And that's really what I want to share with you this morning. My desire this morning is to stir you up, not to really give you any new information, but just to remind you of things that I think you already know, but it's easy for us to, you know, sometimes just sort of lose sight of the goal or to lose sight of the objective, and hopefully we can get a good picture of that this morning. Do we realize, I wonder, do we realize that we are involved in the greatest enterprise the world has ever known? It's an enterprise that dates back to the beginning of time. It's a venture that has involved many great names from the past. And I want you to see this connection. I want you to understand today that we have an immediate connection to these names. Abraham, Sarah, Moses, David, Peter, John, Paul, and of course, Jesus himself being the central figure. But we have a connection because we are all part of the same thing that they were part of. We are all a part of that great work of God in bringing people into his kingdom. Do we realize that? I think sometimes we fail to realize it. You know, throughout history, there have been many causes that have arisen, some noble, some not so noble. But people have been drawn many times to a cause. I think of the mistaken cause of communism. The idea, of course, was that we could set up a utopian society, that man could shed his ignorance of the past and religion and all of these problematic things, and we could come together communally and live together in peace and harmony and equality. Of course, it was a good idea, but it just wasn't a reality. But think of all of the multitudes of people that were involved in that cause. From 1917, when the Bolshevik Revolution took place in Russia, right on through to even this very day to some extent, millions of people involved themselves in that cause and deeply involved themselves, were diligent and hardworking and sacrificial and many times gave up everything for the party, for the cause, for this ideology. But we have a cause that is so much greater. We have a cause that's actually true and righteous and will ultimately bring about this utopian society, not with man at the helm, of course, but with the Lord Jesus Christ at the helm. But what I'm wanting you to see is that we have this great cause. And I think sometimes we fail to realize it. Sometimes we just think, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, yes, I go to church. Oh, yeah, on Sundays, I'm over there at Calvary Chapel. But do we realize that it's not just about coming out on a Sunday? Christianity was never intended to have a spectator element except those outside looking in. We, as God's people, are not to be spectators at all. Each and every one of us are to be involved because God has called us to join him in this great work of salvation. And to me, that is really a mind-boggling thing. It's a wonderful thing just to think about and to realize that that is the case. We have been called to get the gospel out to people. We have been called to bring people into the kingdom. And what we want to talk about briefly this morning is just how we can do that. And as I said, I'm not going to share anything new with you. These are things that you've heard many times over. These are things that, to some extent, I know you know. But sometimes we just need to be reminded of them again. It's sort of like Peter when he wrote his second epistle. He said, I'm just going to stir up your pure minds. I know you know these things, and I know you're established in these, but I want to remind you. And that's what I feel the Lord would want to do with us today, just to remind us of this great and this glorious cause that each and every one of us have been called to be a part of. So how do we fulfill this objective? How do we fulfill this great task of bringing the gospel to the world, of reaching our generation? Well, I don't think we can go anywhere without prayer. I think prayer is the place that we must start. And indeed, if the book of Acts teaches us anything, it teaches us a lot of things, but it teaches us definitely the necessity of prayer for the work of God to advance. And all the way through this little history, some 30 times prayer is mentioned, alluded to, prayer is encouraged, prayer is seen. Over and over again, you see these people were praying. Now, it's interesting. I think that we're living in a world that's very similar to the one that the apostles went out into. Now, they went out into a world that was basically what you might call a heathen world or a pagan world. They went out into a world full of idolatry, full of sin. The knowledge of the true God was pretty limited to just that one nation of Israel, and even amongst the Israelites, that knowledge was distorted, to say the least. So these people were sent out into a world that knew nothing of Jesus Christ. And we're kind of back there in some ways. You know, it's sort of come full circle. They went out, they preached the gospel spread, multitudes of people over the centuries received Christ. The church was established, and cultures were Christianized. And for a long time, especially in the culture of the West, Christianity was sort of the cultural religious perspective. But we've almost come to a place now where that's no longer the case. Having spent much time in Europe, most of the great churches in Europe are now really nothing more than museums. They're tourist attractions. They're places that you go to admire the architecture and things like that. But there's no vital life in these facilities. And these institutions have pretty much died out. And as you go throughout the Western world today, you find that most people are basically ignorant of the Christian gospel. So we're right back where the apostles began. And we need to be doing the exact same things they were doing. And one of the things they were doing is they were praying. They were committed to prayer. It was something that they were constantly involved in. It wasn't just, you know, once in a while, if I've got a real struggle or a difficulty to face, then well, we really need some prayer about this. But their whole manner of life and their existence was wrapped up in prayer. They were a praying people. And so we likewise, in following their example, we need to be a praying people. Now, I know we pray. And I pray, and you pray. I prayed for my meals, and I pray, you know, several times a day for people and all that. But do we really get serious in prayer? Do we really realize the power that is available in prayer? Do we really realize that without prayer, we really can't do much of anything at all? And I believe that God would call us again to a fresh understanding of prayer, a fresh commitment of prayer. You remember several weeks back, Pastor Chuck took us through a series on Sunday morning of prayer. Why did he do that? Because he said to us, we desperately need prayer in these days. We're living in difficult times, challenging times, times of extreme wickedness, I think, is developing across our land. And I believe that the church is called to rise up in prayer, maybe like we haven't prayed in a long, long time. So get involved in prayer. We've encouraged that many times before. And I think I mentioned to you recently, but, you know, the Lord put this on my heart. Grab a few people. Get together consistently. Pray with each other. The past few weeks, I haven't been feeling that well. And one of the weeks, I kind of slept through my prayer meetings. And the guys gathered and prayed, and that was wonderful. But, you know, coming into this last week, I, you know, still not really feeling that well. I said, Lord, I know you call me to prayer. Just help me to make it. And, you know, the Lord is so faithful. Every morning at about 5:45, he wakes me up. And I just, and a couple of times this past week, I went to bed at night, and I just thought, Lord, please get me up in the morning. You know, I'm not even going to set my alarm. I'm just going to trust you to get me up. And he's done it. I take that to be from the Lord. Yes, you're on the right track. You need to pray. You need to be consistent. And so the Lord is calling us to, I think, a deeper ministry of prayer. Every week you come here, you get a bulletin, don't you? Now, most of you probably know a lot of what's in that bulletin already. But I'll tell you one thing about the bulletin is that it is a great prayer guide. Praying through the bulletin will result in great blessing just for our fellowship here. Because the bulletin apprises you of everything that's going on during the week. We've got all the different prayer meetings, all the different Bible studies, all the different outreaches and things that are going on. And to just take that as a prayer guide and to go over that on a weekly basis with your wife or your husband or your family or some friends, that would, I think, be an immense blessing for us. And I want to encourage you to do that. I also want to encourage those of you that are in the category of being retired. You know, for some people, retirement is seen as a time of, well, I'm finished and, you know, now I don't do anything. But of course, as Christians, we never retire. You know, people talk about retiring from the ministry. You can't really retire from the ministry. You minister your whole life. But maybe you've come to that place of being at that age of retirement. Maybe you are no longer working in that profession that you were working in. You have retired. And you're wondering, well, what's next? What can I do now? Well, there are many things that you can do, but one thing I'll tell you for sure that you can do is you can pray. And I think we have to understand, my point that I want to make is we have to understand prayer as a ministry, not just something we do for, you know, personal petitioning or something that we get serious about in the midst of crisis, but it's something that we do consistently, regularly, faithfully. We cry out to the Lord. We ask him to work. We pray about his work and for his people. Those are the things that we need to be occupying ourselves with. Let's be people of prayer. That's how we're going to make a contribution to this great work that God is doing. Secondly, we must also be living exemplary lives. Pastor Chuck mentioned this last Wednesday evening in a study in 1 John, talking about the example Jesus set us and that we are to walk as he walked. You see, as we are living exemplary lives, this is going to be the thing that's going to attract people. What we're ultimately seeking to do is see people come to Jesus or get the gospel to them, have an open door to share with them. Many times our inconsistencies in our lives, they prevent that from happening. People might hear that you're a Christian, but then they see some glaring inconsistency, and so they don't want to hear what you have to say because they don't think it's real. But you see, God has called us to live a life that will be the evidence that our message is valid. So we go out talking about Jesus and his great power and how he can save you and how he can deliver you. But if I'm not delivered, then my life is contradicting my message. And so it is vital that we are living the Christian life, because that's a means through which we open up the opportunity for that goal of getting the gospel out. Now, there's a saying that's attributed to St. Francis. I'm not sure if he said it or not. And it's a saying that I don't totally agree with. I actually have a bit of a problem with it, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. And it goes like this: preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Now, what I don't agree is that you can't really preach the gospel without using words. You have to communicate the truth of the gospel. But the point that he was making, and I think it does have some merit, is that we've got to be living a life that backs up our message. We've got to be living an exemplary life so people, when they hear the message, they'll take it seriously. And so in these days, we need to be people of prayer. We need to be living exemplary lives. We also need to involve ourselves in good works. Sometimes, because we have the great emphasis on salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, which is absolutely true, sometimes we're a little bit confused about good works. And some people have even drawn the wrong conclusion that, well, you know, good works aren't necessarily that big of a deal. Hey, brother, you know, I'm saved by grace. I'm not saved by works. Now, I trust we all know that we're saved by grace and not by works, but the New Testament is full of exhortation to good works. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons we gather together, according to Hebrews, is that we might provoke one another to love and good works. Paul said in writing to Titus that Jesus, in saving us, was redeeming for himself a special people zealous for good works. And then Paul said in writing to the Galatians, as opportunity comes, do good to all men. You see, again, keep in mind the bigger picture. The goal is to get the gospel to people, to get people into the kingdom. Love and good works, you know what they do? They open the door for the gospel. People who might not otherwise have an ear, they might not otherwise be open to listening, when they see your faith in action, they then are open to hearing about it. I think of some examples where this has occurred recently. A few years back, of course, we had this catastrophic hurricane, Katrina, and all of the damage that occurred there in those states. You're well aware of that. Many, many Christians still to this very day are ministering in that area. New churches have been started. People have been led to Christ. People that had absolutely no interest in the gospel whatsoever are now believers. Why? Because when disaster struck, when crisis came, the Christians came with love and good works and showed them what the gospel is about, and they said, I want that. We heard so many testimonies of people who, as they were being, you know, fed and sheltered and all of those things, would simply just come out and say, we've never met anybody like you in our lives. We never knew that Christians did this sort of thing. We didn't know Christians loved and helped and all of this. We want to become Christians. I think of the same types of things that happened back with the tsunami And one example that stands out to me is the nation of Sri Lanka, a Buddhist nation that was basically from a governmental level sponsoring persecution of the church. But because of the dynamic testimony of Christians after the tsunami, the love and the good works that were demonstrated, many of the people said, you know, Buddhism didn't really do anything for us. But these Christians, they have come and they've helped us and they've shown us real love. We want more Christians to come into the country. We want more churches to be started. We want Bible colleges and things like that. And presently we have a Bible college starting in Sri Lanka. So you see, the love and the good works, they open the doors to get the gospel to people. I think of Mike McIntosh and the Festival of Life. He goes to different places around the world putting on this festival where they go in and ultimately they preach the gospel. But in preparation to that, they take a team of hundreds of people, doctors and dentists and construction workers, and they go into a community and they just minister to the people. They bring them out and they treat them medically and they take care of their dental issues and they, you know, help with practical things in regard to maybe their homes or something in the city. And then they gather together and they preach the gospel. And I think just a few months ago, they had about 60,000 people turn out and about 10,000 people respond to the invitations that were given. But you see, it was the love and the good works that opened the door. And then, fourthly, we need to be people that are filled with the Word of God. We need to be people that are filled with the Word of God. Paul said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And you see, as the Word of Christ is dwelling in me, you know, there's something that happens where it just sort of overflows from me. That's what happens. When you get filled up with the Word, it just starts to bubble over in your life. And then guess what happens? Divine appointments begin to occur. You see, God's got a person over here. He's dealing with them. He's convicting them. They're questioning. They're wondering about things. And he's got you over here filling you up with his word because you're taking the time to seek him in his word. And so he says, oh, I'll take this person, put him together with this person, and they will, all that word in them will bubble over and answer the questions this person has. Give a testimony to this person. So again, basic stuff, simple stuff, stuff we all know, prayer, exemplary life, good works, love, being filled with the Word. But these are the things that make us who we are as God's people so we can then be what He wants us to be in regard to the work that He's called us to do, this great work of spreading the gospel and seeing people come to Christ. You know, I firmly believe that the reason the church is still in the world today is simply because God has more people that he wants to bring into his kingdom and he uses his church in that process. If that was over, we would be gone. The very fact that we're still here, to me, says the work is not finished. And that's how we need to look at things. That's how we need to understand things. I think that sometimes as Christians, we can easily get caught up into looking at our Christian life and church is, you know, this is an addition to my life. This is something else that I have along with many other things. But if I see it that way, I've got it all backwards. The reality is all of these other things, my job and all these other aspects of my life, these are really, truly the incidental things. But the main thing, the primary thing, is God's work.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from our study through the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Getting the Gospel to Our Generation, and the resource number is OBB464. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.